At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Thanks for joining us. Fox and his friends are not experts. Take these opinions as you will. Perhaps it is satire, perhaps not. There are two kinds of people, those who believe us, and those who continue to enjoy being lied to. But I'll tell you this. The military-industrial complex doesn't care about us. We need to stop sending our children to war, to die for bankers and corporations. The medical-industrial complex want to keep us sick and weak, stop taking their poison. The education system is merely an indoctrination program designed to produce obedient workers. The media is a propaganda machine pushing an agenda coordinated by a few men who own every channel and network. Enjoy the show. You are listening to the Conspiracy Soldiers.
All right, what's up, ladies and germs? Welcome back to the show. I'm here with Julio.
What's up? What's up, everybody?
It's another Forefathers episode. It's 2:04 a.m., August 2nd, 2025. So, yeah, what's going on?
I think I'm feeling better than you.
Yeah, well, I'm a little hungover.
That's funny. Yeah, it's been a while since we did a Forefathers. I was telling Lisa and Lily about it, and Lily's like, "What's a Forefathers episode?" And Lisa's like, "They just get rip roaring drunk." So she's like, "Make sure you're home."
Of it is.
She's like, "Make sure you're home early enough that you don't mess up taking Lily, you know, to her thing tomorrow." Yeah, I got it.
So the Forefathers. The water wasn't great back then, so all they drank was beer and alcohol and liquor. So the idea is that they used to have two sleeps. They would get fucked up and pass out, and then they would wake up, and then they would drink some more, and they would basically sleep twice. So that's why we call it Forefathers episodes.
Yeah, this is where
clear.
This is where where Benjamin Franklin was digging up dead bodies and dissecting them in the basement, you know, like it was after the first sleep.
Right. You know?
So this is when the weird shit happens.
I don't know about that, but, you know, he was a Freemason.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep. They all were.
Right. All right, what do you got, Julio? I'm half asleep.
I can tell. All right, so I want to talk about this, NPR or Public Broadcasting Corporation thing that people were talking about, how you know, the big beautiful bill cut money, you know, for NPR. What are we gonna do? So like they lost a lot of money. And Trump says, you know, that for many years they've been creating like they've been influencing the liberal or left wing, you know, using federal money to have a political influence. And I don't know. Some people have their different opinions on that. But this is funny. Every once in a while, I'll tune into like NPR. I do enjoy it sometimes, just catching up on some of the news. Like if I have a trip, you know, going somewhere, you know, like a couple hours or something, I'll turn it on and check it out. But there was a time a couple years ago where that's all I listened to was NPR all day. And I remember me telling you about Scooter, my buddy Scooter at work. He's the one that talked Trump all the time. He's the one that was talking like conservative shit. He would always tell me, like, man, that radio station just keeps repeating the same shit over and over. Why do you listen to that? And now I kind of realize that it is true. And so, I would always listen, during like their fundraising drives, they're trying to raise money. They always bragged. They would always be begging for money from the listeners, and they would brag about the fact that only 1 to 2% of funding comes from the government.
Okay.
1 to 2%. So where were they getting that 99 and 98%? That's from listeners, right? And now all of a sudden, just because the government's taking a little bit, that 1 or 2% away, they're shutting down. To me, that tells me that that was a business that was not running efficiently. You know what I mean? Like the
Right.
money was being diverted to some other shit, DEI bullshit that, still gets being pushed, and funding different political agendas. They also say that most of their money goes towards music rights, like when they play music. And it's like, I don't know, maybe, I don't know. I think they need to go back and refigure that shit out, because 1 or 2%, like if you're running a business and you lose 1 to 2% of your business, that shouldn't mean that your whole business is going to collapse, right?
Right.
Yeah. So something shady is going on there, in my opinion. I don't know. But I remember listening to those fundraisers, and I remember contributing to them, because they said only 1 to 2% of our funding comes from the federal government. We rely
What do
on
you
listeners
mean?
like you.
What do you mean you contributed?
I did. I donated to them.
Oh, come on, man.
Dude, this is like back in like the 2000s. But I mean, they do some good. I do enjoy some of their classical music stations. Like they say that, like public broadcasting stations are the only ones playing classical music. And I mean, that is very true. We don't really have a well-funded classical music radio station anywhere. So I do feel bad that that is going away. We're gonna take, like a back seat. But just kind of interesting. I don't know.
So they're taking NPR down.
NPR took themselves down, I think. Like, I think it's just a stunt. How can your business collapse on just 1 to 2% of your funding going away?
Right.
It just doesn't make sense. If I have 100 customers and I lose one or two, is my whole business going to collapse? I don't know.
So, did you hear about this hiker, Hannah Moody?
No.
So, I just want to have a so. I think, where was she at?
Scottsdale, Arizona.
And they're blaming it on what do they call it? Environmental heat exposure. She was a seasoned hiker, all right? and they're saying it was okay. So she was in Arizona, 103 degrees. I just don't get it, man. And they're trying to say that it was from environmental heat exposure. What is that?
It's environmental, man.
So she died from global warming?
I don't know.
Toxicology results were reported to be negative for ethanol, screen drugs of abuse, and select therapeutic medications. Minimally elevated creatine and urea nitrogen. So, no obvious signs of foul play or trauma.
Well, she did have that abrasion on the right shoulder and lower extremities.
Well, yeah, they're saying she fell down, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she collapsed from environmental heat exposure. So they're trying, it sounds like fear mongering. They're trying to say that we're all just going to start collapsing, just like COVID. Remember that?
Yeah. I mean, that is still happening. People are still dying randomly, all of a sudden collapsing, like healthy people, like athletes.
Yeah, but that's from the vaccine, I believe, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, when COVID first started, remember they were showing videos of people just fucking falling down in China and just convulsing? Don't you remember that?
No, yeah. I guess not.
All right, so when all this shit first started, my wife was at the grocery store. And this is when they first started telling people to wear masks and stuff, right? So, this dude fell down in the grocery store and was literally having like a, what do you call it? Is it having an epileptic seizure? Okay, and this old man right next to him thought it was COVID. And instead of helping him, he just fucking sprinted for the door and started running. My wife came home and told me about it, and I'm like, what the fuck? You know, like, what? It's crazy what they do to us, man. It's crazy. Yeah.
So what, you think it's a psyop or something?
Of course it is. What do you mean? 103 degrees? Dude, I was sleeping in 103 degrees in the desert with fucking Kevlar helmet and a flak jacket. Long sleeves, long shirt, boots. Come on, man. This is fake news. I don't know what happened, but it wasn't from environmental heat exposure. I promise you that.
There was another couple that I read about that they went missing, and then they were discovered in a cave, like sitting next to each other, like completely decomposed, still fully dressed. What they think happened is that the cave entrance collapsed and they got trapped in there.
Well, I mean, shit like that happens. I mean,
yeah, but they didn't call it, you know, like this temperature thing.
I mean, I've heard of that in a cave where I don't know what the answer to that is, but I mean, I guess you can't breathe.
Yeah.
All right.
Talking about caves and tunnels and shit like that, or underground shit. So today I gave a ride to these girls. I picked them up at a bar.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Are by campus here in Toledo, and they were going to another bar downtown, and so they're in the car. And I hear them talking about how they have fake IDs. And so I felt conflicted. Like, I'm like, what do I do as a parent? You know, like, what do I do? But I didn't say anything. Anyway, so where they were going is right by the AT&T building. So I told them about it. And they might be listening. So, hey, Savannah. And Christina, I think, is the other girl. If you're listening, thank you. But they're supposedly going to be like checking it out. They're going to like walk around there later tonight, probably around right now. But it was kind of funny.
So you still doing Uber?
Yeah. Dude, did you know, listen to this, your insurance will pay for an Uber ride so that you can go to the doctor?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, that's cool, right? But did you also know that they will also pay for you to go donate plasma? Like, if you're like a jobless piece of shit just sitting at home and you want to donate plasma and don't even have a car, you can still donate plasma.
I did that for a while.
Me too. Me too. Of course.
I've been through some shit.
Yeah, I did it in the middle of the deepest of my addiction when I was into crack. And I'm dead serious. So I get it. I get it. But back then, the government was not paying for me to get a ride to go there and donate plasma. Going back to this whole thing about how, like, you know, they use young people's blood. How the elite drink young people's blood. Where are most plasma centers in Toledo around?
I don't know, because I used to do it back home, but
I'll tell you where they are. In the hood and around campus universities.
Yes, it was right by the fucking college, dude.
Yeah. Dude.
That's where
there's a connection. There's a connection to that. And that always, like, at that time I didn't really think about it, but now I'm like, man, like, you know, if young people's blood does rejuvenate you, that would be the perfect spot. I mean, you can't really have children donating plasma, but you can definitely have brand new adults who don't know any better and are clueless, you know, to comply. And then, adrenochrome shit. And then you ever hear about this whole thing, how when a baby is born, like, okay, so I remember when I had my tonsils taken out, I straight up asked the doctor. I was a child back then. But I remember joking with the doctor saying, like, hey, can I have my tonsils, like, to take them home? And he said no. And I always wondered, like, why? And then, you know, you look it up and it's because it's biomedical waste, et cetera, whatever. But what do they do with all that shit? So, like, with babies, the umbilical cord, the placenta, all of that gets sold for stem cells. They make $50,000 off of one umbilical cord and placenta.
Yeah, right.
Why don't they give that money to that baby and start a college fund or a savings fund for them? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, I don't know, man. The medical industry really, really irritates me a little bit.
Yeah, that's why they hate people that are having like home births and shit. because they're taking all that money away. And, you know, if you watch a dog give birth to the puppies, they eat that. They have to, because, I mean, all the puppies have like a little placenta around them. And the dog will eat that so that they can breathe. You know what I mean? And I don't know, man. It's all part of the process. And the whole Rockefeller medical procedure is taking all that away from us.
Yeah, definitely.
This dude, let's see here. This dude's messaging me. All right, never mind. Well, I hit him up about doing a round table. My bad. What?
I noticed that some of the videos I was sharing last episode were kind of like lagging. Did you notice that as we were recording live?
No, I didn't.
Hmm.
Because yeah. Because you were on Twitter.
Twitter. Sup, General? Hey, last time I talked to him, he was talking about the Glastonbury Festival. So what maybe he it? Just the Glastonbury Festival is like a music festival.
Yeah.
So maybe he got lost in that forest or something.
No, man. He's got shitty internet out there in England, so he just disappears every once in a while.
I was just tossing it up to him being Bohemian.
Maybe.
A bon vivant.
So, Clem hit me up yesterday. Are we doing a fucking show on Sunday?
That's what I thought. 8 o'clock.
Okay, good, because this one is a fucking shit show. I don't think I'm even going to put it out.
Why? This one?
Yeah.
Dude, this is a classic.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Dude, I guess I'm proud of the fact that I'm doing better than you. Like maybe
it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Of course you are.
Yeah, I tend to drive in the morning. I mean, 5 hours from now, I won't be that great. But you will.
Why is that?
I don't know, man. 7 a.m. 7 a.m. is weird for me.
All right, I got a clip here on Fauci.
Youchy Fauci. The Fauci ouchie.
Here we go. This is Dr. Anthony Fauci, the Jew.
The people in America are not settled with the information that's been given to us right now.
So I'm not going to be lining up taking a shot or a vaccination for something that wasn't clear in the first place. And then you all create a shot in miraculous time. It takes years to create vaccines.
This is old.
Well, it used to take
years. I know.
Years. Okay, you know
how many years were invested in this approach? About 20 years of science to get us to be able to do it.
20 years is not enough.
And 9 months is definitely not enough for nobody to be taking no vaccination that you all came up with.
The only reason I'm talking to you right now, as close as we are, is that I've been vaccinated.
Right.
But if it allow thousands of people like you don't get vaccinated, you're going to let this virus continue to percolate in this country and in this world.
Something like the common flu then, right?
It's much more serious than the flu.
Though. Well, the flu kills a lot of people annually, too.
You know how many people died of the flu the last year? I mean, not this year, virtually none, but the previous year, about 20 to 30,000. You know how many people have died from COVID-19 in the United States? 600,000 Americans.
Well, the number that you all giving that died, that once again, that's you all's number.
You gonna pass.
Yeah, definitely. Because when you start talking about paying people to get vaccinated, when you start talking about incentivizing things to get people vaccinated, there's something else going on with that. Something else going on.
You're right. But I'm glad millions of people like me and most everybody here didn't get an incentive. You know what their incentive was? Protecting their health and protecting the city. Right. But I won't keep doing it anymore.
It's okay, because my incentive, y'all, campaign is about fear. It's about inciting fear in people. You all attack people with fear. That's what this pandemic is. It's a fear. It's fear, this pandemic. That's all it is.
I don't like Fauci.
Who does?
The liberals. Oh, God. Some of those people in New York.
Who are we talking about? Talking about Clem?
No, but that clip is old. That clip is old.
I know it is.
But dude, it still stands up to the test of time. Everything that guy stood up for is the truth.
Fauci is a Jew, all right?
That has nothing to do with him being a bad guy, okay?
I didn't say that. I just said Fauci's a Jew.
Sounded like you were implying something.
No. And how is he not being punished for any of this?
Even Bill Gates, you know, like I hear that he's going to be tried in like some other countries and shit. And like, nothing happens to him. I do not know. I don't get it. It's quite amazing. It's quite amazing.
Well, the Gates Foundation, he goes to like little ass villages in Africa and experiments on people in the name of, you know, he makes it look like he's trying to save people, but he's really experimenting on people.
Yeah.
Just like he's another Jew. Just like the little Jewish scientists we used to see on Bugs Bunny. You know? The evil, you know, yes, my plan is working to perfection.
Dude, Mr. Burns from The Simpsons.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yes.
And he had a handler that always stood behind him. What was his name?
I don't remember that.
Oh my God. Well, it was like a gay joke. He had like a Oh my God, what was his name? Smithers. The loyal, obedient, and psychopathic assistant to Mr. Burns. And the relationship between the two is a frequent running gag. In many ways, Smither represents the stereotype of a closeted gay man.
I mean, and look at all the... I mean, we've talked about this before, but look at all the shit that they have preconceived on that show.
I know.
You know what I mean? The Twin Towers. Trump being president.
Trump coming down the escalator in the mall.
Right.
Lisa running for president. Just like Kamala.
I don't know about that.
So, since we're on the topic of one of our favorite topics, I kind of wanted to share this new guy I found, which is kind of interesting. I haven't really done any exploring into his channel yet, but this was kind of interesting to me. I don't know. Check it out.
Oh, hi there. My name's Aaron Hill, and I'm the guy that researches how many Jews there are in things. You've probably seen some of my...
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Work, most notably from when Kanye West shared my Jews in the Media spreadsheet, or more recently when the infographic I made, also about Jews in the media, has been going around. You know, some people's hobbies are video games, other people's hobbies are sports, and my hobby is how many Jews there are in things. Speaking of sports, did you know that the NBA has 14 Jewish owners out of 30 teams? That's pretty weird considering they only make up 2% of the population. Just saying. Whenever I find a Jew, I put a Star of David over their photo to indicate that they are Jewish. Think of it like maybe an armband, but a digital one that I put on there to keep track of them. Some people on the internet call me names or say I'm an anti-Semite because I get some things wrong or am purposely misleading, but I'm not an anti-Semite. I just like to know how many Jews there are in things. And sure, there are some mistakes sometimes, but we all make mistakes. Or sometimes I won't have enough Jews to put on the infographic, so I'll embellish a little bit, like the Jews, and I'll do things like put Steve Jobs on there as a Jew, which is obviously not true, or put Bob Iger of Disney on 12 different times with different versions of his name. It doesn't really matter. People believe it because they're fucking idiots. Take Comcast NBC, for example. They have 186,000 employees, and here I counted 100 Jews working there. Concerning. A lot of my former friends and family find it weird how obsessed I am with Jews and how many there are in things. But what I find weird is that 212 Jews have received Nobel Prizes, which makes up 22% of all Nobel Prizes ever given out. Pretty weird considering they only make up 0.2% of the world's population, right? Some people say, what's the big deal that Jews are overrepresented in things? Surely they're underrepresented in other things. So wouldn't it basically make me a communist to want exact representation in all things? But that's not what I want. I just want there to be no Jews in any things. I'm a utopian. Here's another thing I'm working on, the U.S. House of Representatives. There are 25 Jewish members sitting out of 435 possible seats. That makes up 6% of the total, yet again, Jews are only 2% of the U.S. population, and that is very fascinating. Also, I wouldn't want you to think that I'm so one-dimensional that my only hobby is counting how many Jews there are in things. I also like to independently investigate inaccuracies in Holocaust statistics. And every day when I go to bed, I pray that I could be relieved of this burden of having to count how many Jews there are in things. If you catch my drift, Iran. What was that? Mother? Dinner time? Mother's calling me for dinner. She made my favorite tonight, boiled potatoes.
Wow.
Yeah. I found that guy kind of interesting. Like I said, I haven't really explored anything on his channel or anything, but I mean, it is a very disproportionate amount of the population represented. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. I really don't. I really don't. But
he's
then,
not
hey,
the only one doing only, that.
No?
No. But he was pretty funny.
So, and
when his mom was calling for dinner. He almost came off like a Norman Bates, right?
Or something like that. He does.
Wow.
So remember talking about the Denver airport? How, you know, there's all these like weird conspiracies about it. So instead of Lucifer? Yeah. Instead of denying the conspiracies, the Denver airport is now owning them. So look at this. Are we creating the world's greatest airport or preparing for the end of the world? Construction or cover up? And it's got like a yellow, you know, like worksite helmet with the Illuminati and the all seeing eye. They have an alien, Denver International Airport, and it's a fucking alien with a peace sign. What are we doing? Adding amazing new restaurants and bars, building an Illuminati headquarters, remodeling the lizard people's lair. Learn the truth at denfiles.com. And then that damn horse. I don't get what the point of that horse is. Like, it's such a weird thing. And then they have this.
Going back to Lucifer, the horse's name is Lucifer, right?
Okay.
The guy that built that. So he was. What do you call that when they. When they make structures like that, what do you call that?
A sculptor.
A sculptor. Okay. He was making the horse and a piece of it fell on him and killed him. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. He died making that horse and, the fact that they named it Lucifer, I mean. And what about all the fucking tunnels underneath the airport?
Yeah, they have a picture of a lizard alligator looking guy with a hard hat and a safety vest working a drill. It just says, apologies for the noise. It takes really big drills to get to the underworld. Yeah, and then they got these gargoyles that when you're in the baggage claim area, they'll say, welcome to the Illuminati headquarters.
Wow.
They ain't even trying to hide it anymore. But I want to switch to something funny. This video has really, really made me, not laugh, but made me appreciate, like, somebody that I knew back in Miami when I was just a little child. I went to a predominantly Latin American black school, and it was very rare to have a white guy. And I was friends with this kid named Jason, like one of the few white guys in the whole school. Like, he would trade me my sandwich for his pizza. Like,
Jason is a white guy name.
Or no, wait, I would get the pizza. And he would pack, his mom would pack him a lunch, and he would trade me his mom's lunch for my pizza, which I found I got the better deal. But I mean, he was white. But this video kind of made me laugh because it reminded me of him. He was like a good kid.
Oh, he'll kill the one. Uh-oh, Max, you almost fell. Go ahead, Max. Go ahead. Oh, Lord have mercy. Oh, he'll kill the one. Uh-oh, Max, you almost fell. Go ahead, Max. Go ahead. Oh, Lord have mercy.
Yeah, that's old Julio.
Dude, he was a great guy. Like, I remember we ended up having like a couple, like we ended up hanging out a couple of times, I think. And his family was good, you know what I mean? Like wholesome. I don't know if I would do that to my kid. Send him to a school like that and have him be like
Beyond people don't do it on purpose.
I guess.
It's because they're poor.
Maybe they were poor. I don't know. I mean, like I said, I was a little kid back then.
Right.
But that memory has always stuck with me, how he treated, like, his mom made him a nice lunch, like a nice bagel sandwich. And he traded for that little square pizza, remember, that we would get for at lunchtime.
Yeah. But, I mean, a bagel sandwich?
He wasn't,
sure he wasn't a Jew?
I need this for you. Hey, it shows you I've never had an issue with Jews.
All right, we're back. Julio, you ever heard of Marion Stokes?
No, what was that?
Marion Stokes.
No.
Well, she was an activist, but she was also pretty sure she suffered from paranoia. So, all right. Marion Butler, later named Marion Stokes, and my grandmother was a butler. She was born on November 25th, 1929 in Germantown, Philadelphia. Why am I reading this? Here's what she did, all right? She collected, so she was paranoid that history was going to be erased.
Okay, yes.
So she recorded, she had like three or four TVs and she recorded VHS tapes 24/7 from 1977 to 2012.
Because she feared they were going to rewrite history.
Yeah.
What a fear to have even before you even think about that shit. You know what I mean?
Back in 77,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah.
And wow. She was right.
Yeah. It's a black lady. Nice little skinny black lady. And yeah, she did this. Where are those VHS tapes?
Okay. Stokes started the taping project because she became convinced there was a lot of detail in the news at risk of disappearing forever. Her son, Michael Medelitz, told WNYC that Stokes channeled her natural hoarding tendencies to the task of creating an archive. She began recording the news nonstop in 1979 during the Iranian hostage crisis. Some of Stokes' tape collection consisted of 24/7 coverage of Fox, MSNBC, CNN, C-SPAN, CNBC, and other networks. She recorded on up to 8 separate VCRs in her house. Also included are a 1984 JVC, JVC VHS deck set recording regular programs from Boston in a 6-hour extended play format. Stokes' final recording took place on December 14, 2012. As she was dying, it captured the Sandy Hook massacre. Is that nuts?
What?
Yeah. Her final recording took place on December 14th, 2012, as she was dying. It captured the Sandy Hook massacre.
Wow.
That is nuts.
Does it change the narrative?
What do you mean?
Does what she capture on VHS change what is being told to us?
Well, of course not, because they probably hid it.
That's what I'm saying. We're Where are these tapes? I mean, they say they moved them.
Well, she had so many.
They said four shipping containers were required to move the collection to Internet Archives headquarters in San Francisco. A move to cost her estate $16,000. It was the largest collection the Internet Archive had ever received. The organization agreed to digitize the volume, a process expected to run fully on round-the-clock volunteers, costing $2 million and taking 20 digitizing machines several years to complete. As of April 22, the project is still incomplete, partially due to lack of funding.
Yeah, she literally had to rent houses to keep her tapes in. She had like four different properties because she had so many tapes.
Damn. Yeah, that's interesting to be feeling that kind of vibe back in 1977. You know, like I think you gotta have like something in your head going about it. But she was also
at Emory University. We believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You know how the political parties made a shift or a change at some point? The left became the right and the right became the left kind of shit, supposedly. You know, supposedly. So she was courted by the Communist Party who sought to develop her as a potential leader. She was also the Philadelphia chair of the Fair Play for Cuba committee and was involved in the civil rights movement, or organizing five buses from Philadelphia for the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom, and participating in efforts to desegregate Girard College. And she married a teacher, also a member of the Communist Party, had a son with him. She was spied on by the FBI, and she, her husband and her son attempted to flee the U.S. and defect to Cuba, but they were never able to get Cuba visas. I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah. It kind of sounds like Lee Harvey Oswald kind of goes into the MK Ultra. You know what I mean? It's like you don't know where it starts and where it ends. Because Lee Harvey Oswald, he was into that type of shit.
Yeah.
But why? You know what I mean? Like
defecting and all that shit.
Yeah. And he got it. I think he picked his wife up in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they start tracking these people, then they, you know, what happens after that? We don't really know.
Hey, so have you heard about this new way of like getting rid of your body when you die? Like, you know, like there's burial, there's cremation.
Yeah, you went over this last episode.
Did I? Okay. Yeah, dude, like that has really, I keep telling people about it and it just makes so much sense. Like, I think they're trying to make us eventually be eating Soylent Green.
It's like I said last time, man. It's like we are carbon, right? And carbon basically feeds the earth. You know what I'm saying? Like plants breathe in carbon dioxide and exhale oxygen. We feed each other. So when we return to the earth, we're basically feeding the plants. But they don't want that. So what is this? They want to liquefy us? Is that what it is?
Yeah, and flush us down the toilet. No, I'm dead serious. All the remains are like bones. My ass. Yeah, no. Fucking burn my ass or bury me. That's it. And if you can, bury me in the backyard. That way you can get a tax credit for making this a burial site. But hey, did you hear? Go ahead.
I didn't know about the tax credit thing.
Yeah, it's something like that. We'll have to look into it.
All right.
But did you hear, did you see this? This George Floyd video?
No.
Check this out.
A few years ago, I couldn't breathe. But then I started taking this, Comply. Now I breathe just fine.
Side effects of Comply may include dizziness, obedience, improved breathing during police encounters, and sudden respect for authority. Do not resist while taking Comply. Ask your officer if Comply is right for you.
A few years ago, I couldn't breathe.
All right. A lot of people would find that offensive.
They are. They're pissed.
I had I'm pretty sure I lost some listeners or lost some followers on Instagram because I don't know what day he died, but on his the anniversary of his death, people were sending around memes that said 4 years sober. And I reposted it. I got a little bit of hate for that, but I keep doing that shit because I don't give a fuck.
This is funny though. So here in Toledo, you remember the cop Anthony Dia?
Yeah, I knew.
He got killed on the 4th of July by a Home Depot by some stupid idiot. Nice young kid, you know, with a family and everything. Well, so they painted a mural for him, and they also painted a mural for George Floyd. Did you know that the one with George Floyd got struck by lightning and destroyed?
Yeah, I've driven by that. That's crazy, ain't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's also crazy that the sport of basketball, you know, it's all about stealing, running, and shooting.
Man.
Facts, man. Not making this shit up. And then, you know, some people on Section 8 where the government pays all the rent, they get WIC, SNAP, EBT, food stamps, get monthly security checks and don't work. And then at the end of the year, they get tax refunds.
Yeah, how's that work?
Dude, I don't know, man. I need to get on that program or something. God dang.
No, you don't want to get on that program.
Jesus Christ. Like, at least one of those things. Like, I've seen videos. I saw this video of, and I wish I'd have saved it. And I'm sorry I didn't, because just as much as I saved the ones that kind of like point out the bad things, I should have saved this one where somebody was doing the right thing. So I do apologize about that. But it was a black teenager about to turn 18, and his mom is telling him, like, you can't move out. You can't get a job. And he's like, why? And he's like, because then I lose this place. He's like, well, you don't want me to get a job? Like I can get a job and get my own place. Like, you know, that's no problem. I want to do that. And she was fighting him about it. Like, that's the mentality that we have going on, I think, nowadays, man. Like, it's very troubling. Like, we blame the youth because we see them acting a certain way. But I think it's that generation that started getting fed free money. It started with the Clintons.
No, it was going on long before that, dude. And I grew up in not in the projects, but right close to them. And so I had a lot of friends that grew up in the projects. And I'm telling you, man, it sounds good because you're getting all these things for free, but it's like a prison because if you do get a job, you lose all your benefits, right? So mm-hmm. you're stuck just barely scraping by with enough. You know what I mean? Just barely enough to get by, and you're a prisoner to the government. And that's the way they like it. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's basically communism. I mean, they love it. The government loves to have these people on Section 8 and shit like that. And it's like you said, man, like, that's why none of them get married. You know, a man and a woman will be together and they'll have fucking 6-8 kids. And they're still just boyfriend and girlfriend because if they get married, now they lose their benefits. You know what I mean? It's like it's a prison without walls is what it is. And it's manufactured by the government.
Yeah. Hey, so now to talk about my people, the Latinos. Did you know that the Salvadoran immigrant...
Like the Latinos aren't on welfare?
Oh, they are. I'm sure they are. But this Salvadoran migrant accidentally self-deported himself after missing his freeway exit in California, ending up in Mexico. He was then arrested when he tried to re-enter.
Wow.
Hey, do you hear about this alien invasion coming in November?
Oh, what's this about?
No. Man, I surprised I don't have a video about it. So they discovered an object in space that is headed this way, and it seems like programmed. Like it's supposed to fly past certain planets and then eventually hide behind the sun. And so what they think it's going to do is it's dropping probes to kind of check out all the planets, including us. And then while it's checking us, it's going to hide behind the sun.
Where is this information coming from?
Well, of course, NASA and everything.
NASA.
Hold on.
And you find NASA to be a credible source?
Of course. So it's called 3-1 Atlas. It's called 3-1 Atlas. It's the name of the thing. So I don't know. I mean, they have pictures of it. I'm trying to find a video, like a video of it right now, which I found one. So I don't know how it's going to go, but we'll check it out real quick. So that's what it is like on the.
Imagine a lone traveler hurtling through the dark, you know, a visitor from way out there in the star system. And it just pops into our cosmic neighborhood for a quick visit. That's basically the story of 3ITLists, the third interstellar object we've ever spotted. But this deep dive, well, it isn't just about the object itself, fascinating as it is. It's really about the absolute chaos that erupted around it, the speculation, the media hype.
So there's only been three intergalactic objects ever discovered. This is number three. One of them was that a couple of years ago, there was that Owawawu or whatever, had like some weird ass name. And they said that it was had a trajectory that kind of was like indicative that it was kind of like a probe as well. And it was flying really fast. Well, this one is also flying really fast. And they actually discovered that it actually adjusted its trajectory since its discovery to aim to Earth, to aim into our solar system. So it's kind of weird. But let's go back to the video.
And yeah, even these wild conspiracy theories about a, quote, November 2025 alien attack. So today, our mission is to cut through all that noise. Let's get to the real science and give you the facts.
It really is a big deal in astronomy when these things show up. Interstellar objects, I mean. They're incredibly rare. And they give us this unique chance, a direct look, really, into how things work in other star systems. The materials, the dynamics. Just think, they could be carrying secrets about how planets form, how systems evolve, and they deliver it, well, almost to our doorstep. Before this one, 3ILS, we only knew of two others. There was Oumuamua back in 2017, that one really grabbed everyone's attention, didn't it? And then 2I Borisov in 2019. So yeah, finding a third one is scientifically pretty significant.
Okay, so let's unpack this visitor. Where did it first appear? How did we spot it?
Right, so the first official identification of 3ILS was July 1st, 2025. It was picked up by the ATLS project, that's the Asteroid Terrestrial Impact Last Alert System, NASA funds it, down in Chile. But what's really cool is that scientists actually found images of it before that date, pre-discovery observations going back to June 14th, 2025. That gave them a huge head start on tracking its path, you know?
Pre-discovery?
Hmm.
Huh. How does that work when something's moving so fast from, like, interstellar space? And remind us, what exactly makes it interstellar, scientifically speaking?
Good question. Pre-discovery often happens when astronomers go back through archival data. Maybe another telescope caught an image earlier, but didn't flag it immediately. As for interstellar, the key thing is its trajectory. It's hyperbolic. That basically means its path isn't a closed loop around our sun. It has too much energy. It's not gravitationally bound to us. So it's just passing through. Like Oumuamua and Borisov before it, it'll eventually leave our solar system and keep going. When we first saw it, it looked like a comet. It had that fuzzy glow, a coma, and even a little tail. That immediately suggested it was active, releasing gas and dust unlike a bare rock. And
I don't know. That's just a small taste. But you know what I'm saying? Like, going back to the theory of Project Bluebeam.
Right.
And a false alien invasion. Did you see that cloud formation over, I think it was Chile or Brazil or Argentina, somewhere in Argentina, of like a statue of Jesus?
No, I didn't hear about that one.
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
It was like Jesus doing, you know, like that kind of pose, you know, where he's got like the two fingers. I think it was maybe like a month ago. But I think it's this whole, you know, Project Bluebeam. I found the the thing I'm talking about here.
Well, you know what the thing is about Jesus, right?
So they said with Project Bluebeam that they would do a fake alien invasion, and they would also use it to manifest different religions as gods. To unite us all to become a one world or a one nation kind of like government. But that's the one I'm talking about here.
I don't see anything.
You don't see that Jesus?
No. It's a cloud.
Kind of looks Jesus-ish.
But you know, the Jesus that everybody thinks is Jesus is not really Jesus.
Yeah.
Caesar Borgia, who was the son of the Pope at the time.
Yep.
Remember we talked to, I don't know. That might have been before you were on the show.
No, we talked about it.
Okay. Yeah, and he was a lover with who was the artist that painted the Caesar Borgia? Was that I can't remember his name, but they were gay lovers. And his dad was the Pope, and he had all the depictions of the Jewish Jesus. He had them all destroyed. So this Jesus that everybody thinks of today is not really Jesus. In fact, he was a criminal.
So he actually was a patron, meaning he sponsored artists like Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo, Raphael, Pinturicchio, Antonio di San Gallo the Younger, Signorelli, Bramante. Sorry, Signorelli sounds like Cinderella.
Wait, what are you talking about?
About the people that are associated to him. You said there were some...
No, like, the person that originally painted this portrait of Caesar Borgia, him and the painter were lovers. I think it was, damn, I can't think of the dude's name, but they were gay.
Yeah, so it says, who was the painter who worked for Caesar Borgia? He employed and impacted the careers of some of the most important artists of the time, including Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo,
Da Vinci.
Raphael, Pinturicchio, Antonio di Sagallo, Itvecchio, Signorelli, and Bramante.
I think it was Da Vinci. I think so. When you look at a picture of quote unquote Jesus, that's really Caesar Borgia. And he was lovers with Da Vinci.
And the son of the Pope. He also
banged his brother's wife and killed his brother.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so he was a gangster.
Interesting. Dude, so today I had a very, I thought I was going to have a very interesting story to share here today.
Yeah.
So I left about 5 o'clock from my house. From what I recall, everything was in order. All the dogs were inside. They had just been out because I was about to leave. Nobody was going to be home for a couple hours, so made sure they went out. So then I come home like 3 hours later. And it kind of, I kind of noticed when I walked in the door, I'm like, okay, I see two out of three dogs that are usually together in the living room. And then I went to the bathroom and I stopped by Lisa's room and I saw that the other dog was in her room. So I'm like, okay.
Lisa's room.
Yeah, she has her own room.
That's your wife?
Yeah. She does her crocheting, all her shit in there.
Oh, okay. All right, go ahead.
She also thinks it's a lot cooler also at night. She likes to be nice and cool at night. So, whatever.
My bad.
Yeah, no. So, I go to the bathroom and then I'm like, where's the black dog?
Black dog. What's his name?
Thor. God of lightning. And so I start looking for him. Like, I know if I don't find him, I'm going to die. Like, Lisa's going to kill me. I'm like, did I leave here? Like, maybe under the influence and now I can't find him? Like, what's going on? And, but I remember they all came in. So I go outside. Like, he's also kind of like old. So he might die sometime soon, which is unfortunate. So we're kind of like preparing for it mentally and physically as well. So I'm outside looking for this guy. Like, I'm looking like my yard is kind of like, it's kind of like not wild, but it's kind of like foresty. And so I'm like looking for him, like in the foliage, under trees. You know how they say, like, sometimes animals, like, go out of their way and hide to die?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm, like, looking for him, like, all these places. I don't see him. And I'm looking in the house. Like, I looked under every bed. I looked in every closet. I looked everywhere. So I panicked. I drove around the neighborhood. I went online and looked on Craigslist. I checked Facebook to see if anybody reported, you know, like finding a dog. Like, it even crossed my mind. I'm like, did I leave the front door open? There's no way. I came home to a closed door. I contacted my neighbors asking them about it. They said, no, like, we haven't seen anything. So here's what happened. I found him. Thank God. I found him. So what happened is, so we have like a curved couch. And so there's a corner where the curve leaves a space. So what must have happened is he was up on top of the couch, you know, being a trapeze, you know, and he fell. And he fell in that little gap. So the whole time I'm walking around the house, like saying his name, and he's not giving me any sign whatsoever. Dude, I thought like maybe he got like abducted, like somebody came and took him and is going to hold him for ransom. Like, I thought all these crazy things. It was just insane. I was like, oh my God, what kind of story am I going to have if this dog just disappeared out of nowhere?
All right. So if somebody kidnapped your dog and held him for ransom, would you pay?
Probably not, but Lisa might make me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or for blackmail or something. I mean, not because he's black, but maybe they got something on me. But so Lily and I visited UT for like a college tour. It's kind of cool. She's a junior. And so we went to the medical center because she's kind of looking into that. And we did that laparoscopy surgery kind of stuff, you know, where they stick like two sticks into you and do like shit so that it's very not intrusive.
Yeah.
And I did better than her. And so I found this video where it says what it really takes to be a brain surgeon making $854,000 a year. So in this video, there's those two things that I was using that she was using also. But this guy's making a damn crane, an origami crane. Dude, it's really hard. Like they said, the lady that was doing the presentation said that a lot of younger kids are better at it than older people because of the like game control systems. And yeah, it does. It does. Yeah. Dude, it's hard. But somehow I did better than her. And then, dude, this is one of my favorite fucking videos. You don't really need the sound, but what it is two Russian fighters attempting to intimidate the fastest man aircraft in history, the SR-71 Blackbird. Wait until it fires the afterburners. Look at that motherfucker going into space and just fucking passing them. That's fucking America right there. Dude. That is amazing. Damn. That is amazing. That's America right there. But I also like this video you shared because I've seen this video and I loved it.
The listeners audio.
He kind of looks like James Brown, don't he?
Yeah, he does. All right, let's wrap it up.
Why? Because you're tired?
Yeah, I've been tired since we started. You've been talking the whole time.
I know. That's a good pretty thing. Much.
Yeah. Because I wasn't going to.
Hey, we're going to talk about this next time, but did you know that glitter is made out of human bones?
I don't know about that.
We'll see on the next episode.
All right.
All right. So I keep this thing in the back of my car. Yeah. I'll put it where people sit, like their feet, like underneath the seat or something, and they'll step on it and it'll be like, and I'll be like, oh, you stepped on it. And then all of a sudden, dude, like people will take selfies with this thing. They'll like put it on, like they'll take pictures. They'll like squeeze the shit out of it. They love it. I was thinking about putting my Trump clock on a chain and wearing it like Flavor Flav. And then every hour it would say,
great again. We will make America great again.
You know, one of the things that I notice about this clock is look at the smooth hand movement, like a Rolex, like a fine watch Trump would wear. Look at that. Attention to detail.
All right, is that all?
I guess. I got no more gags.
All right.
Thank you for whoever.
I'm going to put this episode out, but
you should. To whoever requested the Forefathers episode, thank you.
Right, right.
This feels natural.
This was by request. But it next week, we'll be back to our sober Sunday morning episodes. Anybody's got any questions, comments, bitches, gripes, complaints, conspiracysoldiers at yahoo.com, conspiracysoldiers on Instagram, conspiracysoldiers on YouTube, Rumble, all that shit. And if you like the show, like, share, subscribe, give us good reviews and all that stuff. Got anything else, Julio?
So I'm going to be starting a new job.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a big boy job. Going back to like logistics, shipping and logistics kind of stuff. So I'm going to take this opportunity to get rid of this gray. I'm going to do that just for men. You ever do that?
No. What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm going to go all black, man.
You got anything important? Can we end this, please?
Yeah.
All right. Conspiracy Soldiers is going dark.